We'll be in Psalm 103 tonight.
It's one of my favorite psalms, and I thought it would be appropriate for the season that we're in, as we've just come out of Thanksgiving and entering into Christmas, the most wonderful time of the year. And I don't say that lightly. It truly is the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas and Easter, you know. First he had to come, then he had to die, and then he had to rise. But right now, he has come. And we celebrate his coming. We celebrate his birth. And this is normally a psalm that I would share during Thanksgiving. But since it was just last week, it's not too far back. And it's easy to get sidetracked, if you're anything like me, in the season, and forget about the main thing. So my goal tonight is to remind us of what we already know, right? And those of us who don't know it, to learn it and get it into us. Those of us who know it, to get it into us. To just not know it in our head, but know it in our heart. You've heard me say a million times, information up here is just information until it gets into your heart. And then activation. Information, activation. Faith, works, living for Christ. Life-changing. It'll change your life. Not just save your soul, but change the way you think, change the way you talk, change the way you live. Change the way you spend your money. Change the way you spend your time. All of it. And I know this personally to be true in my own life. Not that I've got it nailed by any means. I fail just like the rest of us every day. But as we'll see here, we can bless the Lord with all that we are because he is worthy of it. Amen? Amen. So if you're a note taker, cool. If not, I'm an outliner, so 1 through 6, I outline it called Remember God's Grace Toward You. Verse 7, study God's grace in the lives of people in the Bible. 8 through 14, meditate on who he is. 15 through 18, consider our time here on the earth. In the last section, 19 through 22, God is in charge. So remember his grace towards you. Study God's grace in the lives of the people in the Bible. Meditate on who he is. Consider our time here on this earth. And remember, God is in charge. I think we need to know that now more than, well, any time in my lifetime, I think. It's easy to be grim and negative and bitter and angry. But we have every reason to be joyful. Because we know that we don't know the future on this side of heaven. But like that old hymn, there's many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds the future, and I know he holds my hand. We know where we're going. We just don't know when we're going to get there. Could be today.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, you just never know. I know folks that have departed to be with him just recently. Out of nowhere. Time to go and meet the Lord. That could be you tonight. That could be me tonight. We never know. My heart has always been to make sure that every time I get to talk to somebody about Jesus, I tell them all I could possibly tell them about him. The time is short. And you say, well, they've been saying that for 2,000 years that he's coming. Well, that's true. He is coming. That doesn't mean that you're not going to meet him sooner than that, whether he comes or not. But let us all be prepared to meet him. Amen? All right. So Psalm 103, verse 1. I'll read verses 1 through 6, and then we'll go back through it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are righteous. in these verses, I want you to try and force yourself to remember God's grace. It starts out with bless. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. When we sing, when we worship, when we do anything in his name, the most common, obviously, is us singing to him, being with him, talking to him, adoring him. David says it like this. He says this word bless. From the depths of my soul, with all that I am, all my breath, all of my inmost being. And you know that to be true in your life when you suffer loss. When you're going through hard times and there's nothing you can grab onto, nothing that you can see, nothing that makes any sense, you got the one person in your life that never changes. He is a rock. He is an anchor. He is steadfast and immovable. Amen? Mm-hmm. And it gives us every reason to bless him. So, when you sing, whether you have an instrument or you're sitting in your car or whatever it may be, I double dog dare you to bless him with what? From the depths of your soul. Reach down deep. Find a reason to bless him. And you know, we should be able to look around and see a million reasons for why he's blessed us, right? To give him praise back. But we get bogged down with life and we forget. That's why constantly, all through the scriptures, remember, 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 remember. So this idea of blessing, it's also the awe of God. When we consider him who gave us his Son, his Spirit, his Word, on and on and on and on and on, doesn't that bring you to your knees when you realize the God of the universe has given you everything? You deserve hell. You deserve death. You deserve to be completely separated from him. I deserve the same exact thing. Yet, he is gracious to us. It's the only acceptable response from us, is to bless him. It's so much easier, though, to just hear the same stories, hear the same passages and the same verses, especially if you're a church kid. You've been raised in the church. It's easy for those things to grow dull. If you're someone like me that's been rescued out of the gutter, it's a lot easier to know where you came from and a lot harder to forget. However, things get going well and you forget. God's an option. Not a necessity. He should be as important to us as the breath that we breathe. You know, we talked about, used to joke with the kids, you know, how important God was, and he was like, you know, food. And someone would say, well, I don't like food. Well, how about water? Well, I don't like water. What about oxygen? you can't deny that. You have to have oxygen, right? You have to have air. You have to have water. You can go without food. But try going out without breath for 5 minutes. Let me know how that works out for you. From your depths, you know, the old King James, from your bowels or whatever. Bless him in that way. And I'm not telling you to bless him. I'm telling myself to bless him. Today's been one of those days where I feel like the gates of hell are coming against me in every direction. Anytime I have to, or I have the privilege to worship or to teach, to serve him in some capacity, the attack is great. The day after, we call that the hangover day, or the turn in your pink slip day, write your resignation letter or whatever. The enemy is a punk, and he wants to keep you and me down. And so God gave us his word to worship him, to praise him, to bless him. It's the only acceptable response from the depths of our soul. That's my little daughter. She just bumped her head. You can pray for her. And then it says, verse 2, bless the Lord again, but do what? Forget none of his benefit. Forget none of his benefits. The word forget in this context just simply means fail or neglect to remember. It's not that you can't remember, or I can't remember. is that we choose not to remember. We neglect it. We neglect to remember what he's done. Well, what has he done? Again, I love this, the way this psalm is written. He pardons all your iniquities. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. Satisfies your years with good things. Why? So that your youth is renewed like the eagle. He performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He pardons, heals, redeems, crowns, satisfies, performs, and judges. That word renewed means to resume or to reestablish after an interruption, to give fresh life to. So first he says, forget none of his benefits. What are some of those benefits? Pardon, healing, redemption, crown, satisfaction, renewal. Don't you want to be renewed? We have everything, every benefit from him to be renewed every day. There's pain in the night, but there's joy in the morning, right? Every single morning, his mercies are new. How sweet is that? Every day we get another shot. If we get to wake up tomorrow, we have another shot to do what? To have faith in him. He says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. But just trusting, believing in him, what he's done. Trusting him for your breath, for your water, for your food, for your car, for your gas, for your family, for your job, for everything in this crazy time that we live in right now that makes no sense. Everything we thought was normal, all the routines we had, all the traditions we had, all different now. Yet he remains the same. He's still there. He still has his hand out to you and I, saying, come to me, all you who are heavy laden and weary, or weary and heavy laden, I got that backwards, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. It's easy. He says, my burden's light. We can't carry stuff only he's able to carry. We're supposed to be wearing white linen, not wool. Yes, we work hard. Yes, we strive for righteousness. But we can only do that by his grace, by his spirit. Anything I try to do in my own strength is just utter failure. I find when I try to do everything in my strength, like worrying about it long enough, the outcome doesn't change. It just takes so much longer and so much more stress to get there. If I just simply trust him, yeah, that doesn't mean it's easy by any means, but it's right because there's that peace that passes understanding that guards our hearts and our minds in Christ when we do what? When we worry. No, when we do the opposite of worry, when we pray, he says, don't worry about anything or don't be anxious for anything, but pray about everything. No prayer is too small for him. No prayer is too big for him. Like Chris always says, he's a big boy. He can handle it. Amen? So just that first section there is especially coming out of the summer into the fall, celebrate Thanksgiving, travel plans messed up, group sizes messed up, church meetings messed up, everything's messed up. So we can either choose to dwell on everything that's messed up, which I'm not saying I don't. I'm talking to myself. This psalm is for me to tell me, Stephen, stop worrying about things you cannot change. I'm the God who changes not. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Just look at me. Rejoice in me. He's the God that rejoices over you and I with singing. Being a father now, when I go into my little daughter's crib, I get a little taste of what it means to rejoice over my child with singing. And I can only imagine what our Heavenly Father, how he rejoices over us with singing. I'm sure he has a way better voice. And I'm sure that it's way cooler because he knows us on the inside. I don't know my daughter's heart. I don't know her mind. She's just the most adorable little thing I've ever seen. All I want to do is hold her and kiss her and love on her and sing over her. I sing little hymns to her in the morning. We sing to the Lord. She claps her hands. She gets going in her crib and stuff. But God knows you and me, and yet still rejoices over us with singing. That's pretty deep, if you ask me. For the God of the universe to know what we're thinking, to know what we're feeling, to know what we're afraid of, to know all of it, and still choose to wrap his arms. Amen. Take that home. Tuck that away. And pull it out when you need it. Verse 7. He made known his ways to Moses. So this is where we're looking at the grace of God in the lives of people in the Bible. I just chose a couple. Right now it's talking about Moses right here. He made his acts known. He made his ways known to Moses and his acts to the sons of Israel. So, one little thing about Moses here. Let's see. In Exodus 33:13, he says, "Now therefore I pray to you, if I found favor in your sight, let me know your ways, that I may know you, so that I might find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people." His prayer was, if I found favor in your sight, let me know your ways. That's deep. I want to know your ways, God. We know this, as another scripture says, his ways and his thoughts are higher than ours. We can't know him. But we want to know him, right? Moses was God's mouthpiece. He brought the law. He brought judgment. He prayed for them when they rebelled against the Lord. Even he rebelled against the Lord and struck the rock when he wasn't supposed to. God used him to hit his staff and part the Red Sea. And then he took his staff and struck the rock. The same God still loves him. It says he spoke to them in the pillar of cloud. They kept his testimonies and the statute that he gave them. It says he declares, oh, that was Psalm 99:7, sorry. And Psalm 147:19 says, he declares his words to Jacob, his statutes and his ordinances to Israel. Someone said this, the psalmist reflects on God's ways and deeds revealed to Moses. After the sin of the golden calf, Moses had prayed for a greater revelation of love, of the love and the mercy and forgiveness of the Lord as a manifestation of the ways of the Lord. And then the Lord revealed his perfections to Moses. The revelation to Moses reveals the grace in the Mosaic covenant, a grace to which the Old Testament attests continually. Though the Lord may be justly angry because of sin, he does not keep on criticizing, accusing, or maintain his anger for long. Great as his wrath may be, his mercy is greater. Can I get an amen? So then I was thinking about, so there's stuff about Moses. Then you got David. You know, murdering, adultering, lying, conniving king. Apple of God's eye. Man after God's own heart. You got Paul later on. A Pharisee. A Christian killer. Door to door. Putting Christians in chains. He suffered willingly. Peter. I identify with Peter the most. Put my foot in my mouth a lot. High highs and low lows. He denied Jesus. We all know this. 3 times. And 3 times Jesus restored him. And that same Peter who put his foot in his mouth preached his first sermon, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and 3,000 people were saved. Look at them in the natural, apart from the Lord, total idiots. Look at ourselves, apart from the Lord, we're all total idiots. That's the reality of it. We stink. We smell like death. Only because of the righteousness of Christ are we made righteous. And we are righteous before him, no matter what you see when you look in the mirror. Like it or not, you're robed in his righteousness. You are a child of the Most High God, a royal son, a royal daughter. We're a royal priesthood. It's crazy. Verses 8 through 14. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. He'll not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He's not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. He himself knows our frame. He's mindful that we are but dust. Some of my favorite verses, and ones I believe are good to commit to memory if you're able to. 103:8, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. That'll be a little different depending on your translation. This is New American Standard, so yours is probably different. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Verse 12. Verse 14, he himself knows our frame. He's mindful that we are dust. We're made from dirt. We're going back to the dirt. Now, I want you to just look at these with me for a moment. Compassion, great, compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. How long have each of us rebelled against him in seasons of dryness and deadness? No life. And he wasn't one step further away from us. He always is in the same spot. He's as close to us as he could ever be. Our problem is you and I drift. We walk away. And I've used this illustration several times, but in the jail here, there's two tables that are together, and so the seam runs down the middle where they meet. And if you have two people walking together, like on the narrow path, right, we're walking this lonely road, which leads to life, that Jesus said, few there be that find it. And out here on the sides of the tables is this broad way to destruction, right? Out here, it's all noisy and everything's happening. But between the tables where they meet, this lonely road is this path that leads to life. And when we're on that road with Jesus, I mean, we read the scripture, he had no place to lay his head, right? He wasn't some beautiful, handsome looking guy. He was someone that you wouldn't even recognize. You wouldn't think. There was nothing comely about him, that King James would say. But to walk with him on this lonely road, close enough to hear, like John, the Apostle John at the Last Supper, laying on his chest there, close enough to hear, to feel his heartbeat, close enough to hear him whisper, that still small voice. Problem is, as we start walking down that road, and then we veer off. Because everything out here is happening to distract us. Our jobs, our families. It doesn't have to be bad stuff. It's just stuff. Now, it could be bad stuff. Could be your addictions from the past. It could be relationships from the past. It could be all kinds of bad decisions from the past that are still out there. Those don't go away. But we don't have to go out to them. We can stay on the narrow path with him. But when we do go away, he's always like that father and the prodigal son, just waiting for us to come. And the moment we take a step towards him, like the prodigal son story, he runs out to meet us. He's compassionate and he's gracious. No, he doesn't want you to go out there into the broad way of destruction and waste your life out there. No. He wants you to stay close to him. Why? Because he knows that's what's best for you. That's what's best for me. That's where I find my joy and my peace. That's where I go back and realize that he pardons, that he heals, that he redeems, that he crowns, that he satisfies, that he renews. It's on that narrow path. When I leave that path, I leave the safety of his protection. Even though I make terrible decisions, even though I miss the mark, he's compassionate and he is gracious. He's slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. How do I know that? Because I've been with him now 20 years as a believer, and I've done stupid stuff. I've made terrible decisions, made lots of mistakes, and he's never once cast me aside. His kindness is what leads me and you to repentance. I think my daughter's head is okay. So that is a praise. He'll not always strive with us. He's not going to keep his anger forever. Man, didn't he wait like 400 years for the children of Israel? How long has he waited for you? How long has he waited for me? We want to be close enough to him to hear his voice. But if you find yourself away, guess what? No matter how far away you are, he's always only one prayer away. Even if your prayer is one word. Help. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. He's not dealt with us according to our sins. If that were the case, I couldn't even tell you where I would be if I was being paid for, if my sins, what I earned in my life was being paid for by me. No. He's the one that paid the debt he didn't owe. Because you and I, we owed a debt that we could never pay. I heard it said like this: sin will always take you farther than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. And sin will cost you more than you want to pay. And it never, ever, ever satisfies. It always comes up short. There's a little thing twice in here that's tucked in here. It's called those who fear him. So his loving kindness is great to those who fear him, is what it says. Now you could say, well, when I didn't fear him, he was so kind to me. Yes, he is, and he has been. Obviously, he kept us alive long enough to come to know him so we wouldn't die apart from him. Praise God for that. But he really is focused on those who fear him. Those blessings are secure in him when we fear him, when we are in awe of who he is, when we are close to him. He doesn't pull away from us. Like I said, we pull away from him. He's always trying to draw us back to be with him. And then I love this. This is one of my favorites here. So far, he has removed our transgressions from us, just as a father has compassion on his children. What? How far was that? Well, the part above it, as far as the east is from the west. I'm sure you know this, but in case you don't, it's pretty cool. If he would have said, you know, picture an old globe, like a, you know, of the world in class, if you went to elementary school back in the 80s, they used to have these big globes and they spun on a little thing. Anyway, you could see the whole world. And you could spin it to the left or to the right, and you could spin it north and south. If he would say, forgive your sins as far as the north is from the south, if you go to the top of the globe or the world, and you go down, you're going south, right? If you're down, you're going up, you're going north. So you start out going north, then you end up south. It's not very far. It has an ending point. Crazy thing is, now I'm not sure which way is east or west. Let's see. East is that way because the water's right there. East and west. So east always is east. It never becomes west. West. Never. Infinite. That's how much. That's how far he's removed your trans. As far as the east is from the west. No limit. No limit to what you've ever done, what you're doing, or what you will do that he won't forgive you. That's pretty sweet.
That's sweet.
That's a life changer. That's a game changer. Share that with guys in jail who are just in there bogged down with shame and condemnation. And they hear there's a God in heaven who loves them and gave his life for them. And that he forgives them as far as the east is from the west. When they put that little picture together, it's life-changing. We hear it all the time out here, so it may not have as much weight to it. But I want to encourage you today, tonight, let that rock your world tonight. Wrap your brain around that and realize the infinite forgiveness he has given you. Amen. And how does he do it? As a father does his children. He's a good, good father. Some of you may have not had a good father, or maybe you haven't been a good father. It's hard for you to call God father. you can identify with Jesus, but when the moment you say Father, it strikes a nerve to a past memory or situation or relationship. And I just want to encourage you that God the Father, He is God. And He is perfect and holy and righteous. So much so that He has sent His Son, His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to come and live and die and rise for you so you could be with Him. That's pretty sweet. That's how much of a good Father He is. That's how much He loves you. That He gave His only Son for you. And if you're someone who's had a good dad and you've seen the example of Christ in him, praise the Lord and rejoice for that. May we as dads, if there's any dads watching right now or want to be dads, future dads, man, may we look at these verses and may we have compassion on our own kids. May we love them the way God loves us. May we demonstrate our faith to them the way He demonstrates His life, His grace and His mercy and His love for us through His Son Jesus. Amen. And then it says He knows our frame. He knows you and I are dirt. He's not shocked by your thoughts or by your actions, your mistakes. He's not. You might think the unthinkable. You might think you're too far from the east and west to be rescued. Let me tell you, I've been in the gutter. I've been in nowhere land. I've been a slave to drugs. I've been a slave to we'll just call it sin. And sin, the wages of it brings death. I've been separated from God. I know what it's like to be separated from God. I know what it's like to live in the gutter. I know what it's like to have tons of money, tons of women, and tons of stuff. And I know what it's like to be sitting in the back of a police car. I know what it's like to go to jail. I know what it's like to go to prison and have everything taken away from you. And I'll tell you, praise God for that. Whatever it takes for you and I to come to our senses and realize our need for Him, it's worth it. Jesus even said at one point there in Matthew, it's better to enter life maimed. Nothing in this life is worth more than Him. He says, if you try to find your life, you're going to lose it. But if you'll lose your life for my sake, you'll find it. And I can tell you that's true. Even today, whenever I try to go and find something to satisfy me in this life, it doesn't. The moment I let go of it, peace, joy, kindness, gentleness, meekness, self-control, it all comes flooding in because that's His design. Verses 15 through 18. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind has passed over it, it is no more. Its place acknowledges it no longer. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him. His righteousness to children's children, to those who keep His covenant and remember to do His precepts. In this passage, it says, his days are like grass, like a flower of the field he flourishes. The wind passes over, it's no more. That just tells me that life is short. But then it says his loving kindness. So his loving kindness is everlasting. On who? Those who fear him. If he says something once, we should always listen to it. If he says something twice, it must be super important. If he says something three times, he's really trying to get us to think about something. Fear God. The Proverbs say that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You must fear Him. Fear Him out of respect. Fear Him out of who He is. If you belong to Him, you don't have to fear losing your soul. But if you don't know Him, you should be afraid. Because without what His Son has done for you, you got nothing. You're not going to be able to stand before Him in your filthy rags and proclaim to be righteous enough to enter the kingdom of heaven. There's one way in, period. The blood of Jesus Christ. That's it. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the life, and I am the truth. No one comes to the Father but by me. You might think that's narrow, but that's God. You might say, well, there's only one way. I can't believe it. Aren't you glad there's a way? If you have an incurable disease, it's incurable disease of some sort. And there was an antidote. There was a cure. Would you say, I'm good. I'm just going to wait around for something else. I don't really like that cure. Chances are no. You'd say, give me the cure. I want to live. Well, I'm here to tell you tonight that Jesus is the cure for sin. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Oh, that we would fear him and remember him and do what he says. He says there in 18, at the second part of 17, those who fear him and his righteousness to children's children. Don't you want your children to see a husband and wife who fear God? For them to grow up seeing you fear God. For them to grow up fearing God. For their children to grow up fearing God. No, we can't make our kids follow the Lord. I'm learning that. My daughter's only 17 months, and I'm learning that she's going to do what she wants to do when she wants to do it. I've got to discipline her. And now it rings true more than ever when my parents just say, this is going to hurt me more than hurt you. Truly it does. It breaks my heart. If it wasn't for the word of God to tell me that God disciplines those whom he loves. Discipline is love. Trying to discipline, to correct the child before they go farther. Being undisciplined is a lack of self-control. I should know because I had zero self-control for most of my life. But God. Maybe that's you tonight. Maybe you find yourself in a place where you realize you lack self-control. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Trust in the Lord. Allow him to have your life. And he'll begin doing those things. Romans 12 talks about us not being conformed to the world, but being transformed by the renewing of our mind. We get transformed as we read his word, as we pray, as we fellowship, as we remember him. He transforms us from the inside out. And that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. It makes no sense on paper because we all look and see the outward. But the Lord doesn't look at us like we look at ourselves or each other. He looks at the inward. So, that we would fear him, that we would remember him, that we would do what he says. Those who keep his covenant and remember his precepts to do them. We want to do what he says, not because we have to make him happy. That's not the case. So without faith, it's impossible to please him. Our faith in him pleases him. Our obedience to him demonstrates our faith by the way that... Amen? In the last section here, 19 through 22, we'll wrap up. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord. You, his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you, his hosts, you who serve him, doing his will. Bless the Lord, all you works of his, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless, 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 bless. That can be translated praise. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty in strength who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Praise the Lord, all you his hosts, you who serve him doing his will. Praise the Lord, all you works of his, in all places of his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Worship the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength who perform his word, obeying the voice of his will. Worship the Lord, all you his hosts, you who serve him doing his will. Worship the Lord, all you works of his, in all places of his dominion. Worship the Lord, O my soul. So we want to worship him, want to bless him. We want to thank Him. And we want to serve Him. Worship, thanksgiving, and obedience. The obedience part can't come until we become worshipers and thankers. Thankers? Yeah. Don't send me an email. We're to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We're to be grateful. We're to pray prayers of thanksgiving. And we're to obey Him in our service. You don't have to have a title to serve Him. It says, whatever you do, do heartily as unto the Lord. Serve Him with excellence. Remember, He's the one who came. He's the one who lived. He's the one who died. He's the one who rose. He's the one that's gone back to the Father to prepare a place for you and I. So that where He is, we can be there too. The time's coming when we'll be with Him. Sooner than later. It's closer than it's ever been. Even if it goes another 1,000 years. Could be tonight though. Or it could be tomorrow. It could be next week. We never know. He said, no man knows the day. But the trumpet will sound. And in an instant, we'll be transformed. Translated. Harpazoed. Gone. And don't you want to be in that number when the saints go marching in? Yeah. Amen. Now, there's no way to end this without a little bit of Christmas. So, Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. All this is going to a place here. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There'll be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Now, when he came, it was dark. God became flesh. The world was dark. He's the light of the world. The light of the world has been placed in each and every one of us who believe. That's why we can say, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father or Everlasting Father, whatever your translation says, Prince of Peace. He is everything you and I could ever hope for. It's all found in the person of Jesus. This is spoken about Him way, way, way back, that He would come. If He came when He said He would come, then He's going to come back like He says He's going to come back. One way or the other. You can count on it. All His promises are yes, Jesus Christ. We are going to sing a Christmas song. And what I mean by that is Jody is going to sing a Christmas song. And I want you to try to enter in. I want you to think about our Wonderful Counselor, our Mighty God, our Eternal Father, and our Prince of Peace. You can see a little piece of my Christmas tree right here. A lot of people have a lot of different things about the Christmas tree, but what I like to think about the Christmas tree is that, you know, you got the tree, it's made out of wood. You've got the lights on it. You've got the star on it. You've got, hopefully, some gifts underneath it. Jesus Christ, the light of the world, hung on a tree for you and for me. Salvation is a gift. It's a free gift, like a Christmas present. You don't pay for a gift. A gift is a gift. It's free. But the gifts are wrapped. He has this gift for you. But unless you unwrap it, you'll never know what the gift is. He's given you the gift of eternal life. The scripture says, if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be with them. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The gift is for you, and it's waiting for you. It's under the tree on Christmas morning. Maybe today, right now, it's Christmas morning for you. And you have that gift in your hands, and you haven't unwrapped it. He's been trying to give it to you for years. Would you unwrap that gift today and simply say, Lord Jesus, I come to you. I give you my life. I turn from my sin and I turn to you. Live inside me. Live your life through me. I surrender to you today. In Jesus' name. And watch him change your mind. Change your heart. Change your life in ways you could never expect. A peace that you'll have that passes all the understanding you've ever had will enter your soul like you've never known. Don't miss it. If that's for you, receive it tonight. And if you've already opened your gift, then you can celebrate with us right now like it is Christmas morning. Come and let us adore him, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.